This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome the Bird Alliance of Oregon. With us today is Stuart Wells, Executive Director, and also with us is Sarah Swanson, Events Manager. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland, guys.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I think we should get started today by talking about the Bird Alliance of Oregon. It used to be called something else. Stuart, tell us why there's been a name change recently.
Well, the Bird Alliance of Oregon has been in existence since 1902, and we've had several names, but we were most recently called Portland Audubon. And after a lot of internal discussion and looking at trends, we recognized that the name Audubon, John James Audubon, who's an amazing artist, was also connected with some ideologies about inequality and race. And it's one thing to live in that time, which was in the 1800s, but it's another to embrace that and not really have any belief that anything should be different. And what we recognize as an organization that some of that is a barrier to folks when we're reaching out. And our goal as an organization is to have as many voices in at the table to speak about climate change and to be concerned about habitat and for birds in particular. And when with that name there, even our folks going out into different communities, BIPOC communities, felt that. But also people who knew also felt that. So one of the things we wanted to do was to look for a new name. We decided that well before the National decided not to change their name. And we reached out to our members and asked them what they would like to see in a name if we were to do a name change. And we also talked internally with our staff. And the thing that came out loud and clear is it has to include birds, and none of those previous iterations actually had bird in the name, which is interesting for a bird conservation organization. And they also wanted it to reflect our statewide work. And we work throughout the state. We work from the coast, we work in Klamath now, and we work in eastern Oregon, Malheur in particular. So we wanted to be able to talk about that in a name, and that's how we landed on Bird Alliance of Oregon.
Very cool. That's an interesting story. It's nice to be educated on why.
Yeah, it's an interesting history. And the other interesting point about the name Audubon is another percentage of folks that we ask about it said, oh, yeah, the freeway in Germany. So there's another component of it that even though we've had that name for a long time and brand recognition is critical, it also isn't necessarily talking about exactly what our organization does.
I didn't realize that Audubon was somebody's last name.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
you're getting educated all the way around today. Well, let's talk about the Bird Alliance of Oregon. Tell me what you guys do and what your primary mission is.
So Bird Alliance is to connect people with nature. We work together for nature. It's to, it's really the whole focus is to protect habitats, especially for bird species, wildlife, to protect and encourage people to understand the natural world. So we work throughout the state, as I mentioned earlier. We have some work that we do on the coast, protecting marine reserves. We work to protect old growth forests like the Elliott Forest, and we've worked in throughout Oregon to protect old growth forests. We work to protect wetlands, you know, like Klamath area, and we've been more recently expanding our work into that area. But we've been working in Malheur in eastern Oregon for a number of years to protect those wetlands and bird species there that are being impacted by reduced water. Wetlands are critically important for flyways, migratory flyways, and so we've been working in that. But also we work in Portland, in cities, urban. We have a huge focus on how to make this the greenest metro area in the country. And our urban green space work includes working in Wilkes Creek. And, you know, that's an area that's an urban area. We've been working there to introduce our backyard habitat, native habitat program that we have to present people with the wonders of birding, which is really kind of exciting when you start to get into it.
Yeah.
And we work throughout the city to have, you know, protect canopy cover, large trees in particular. We've actually just had a new win that protects the large tree work in Oregon, in Portland. So that'll be protected now for forever,
yeah.
Some of these initiatives. We also educate. We have a lot of programs for educating young people. Approximately 2,000 to 4,000.
Wow.
Children a year, and adults as well, 2,000 people participate in our education programs. And some of those are just taking folks out on birding trips. Some is educating young people about how they connect with nature, what's out there when they go walking and doing birding. There's also a lot of wildlife, a lot of nature, and we teach them those kinds of, to see things. You know, to actually understand that they live with wildlife in many ways. Another big component of our work that's it's an interesting part. It's our Wildlife Care Center, and this is another what we consider our pillars of work. And the wildlife rehab facility that we've run since the '30s is the largest in the region, and we work with over 4,000 animals are brought in, either injured or orphaned. And when I say orphan, I mean baby birds and sometimes squirrels and things. And our facility treats these animals and returns them back to the wild, as many as we can. And we've been working out of that, our current wildlife care center, for about 30 years. It's about 1,300 square feet. But for several years, we've been looking for a new site. Huh. And so we were able to purchase a new site in... about a week ago, weeks ago.
Exciting
and
news!
It's a great site. It's the northeast in eastern Portland. It's a former landfill, which is something that is right in track with our mission of revitalizing these sites. It's called the Brownfield. It used to be a quarry way back, and then it became a landfill, and then it's been a site that's been sitting fallow for many years. And we have found this site, it's about 12 and a half acres, to build our new wildlife care center.
That's great. Because it used to be, and still is to this day, until you move, it's up in Forest Park, right?
Exactly. Our current location is on Cornell Road in Forest Park. We have 172 acres of hikeable sanctuary.
It's a beautiful place.
It's free to hike in that area, and it is beautiful. It really is. It's kind of great to work in that area and look out the window and see these, you know, these wonderful forests and trails. And Balch Creek also runs through part of our sanctuary.
Not a bad office space, right?
Not a bad office space at all. It can be distracting because you're sitting in your office and you see a varied thrush flitter by, or, you know, pileated woodpecker just kind of landing right there in front of your window and just kind of doing its thing. It's
so like, you're a birder at heart, right?
You know, I'm a biologist, and I've worked with a lot of bird species over the years, and because of that, I have an interest in birds. But moving to Portland, I've come to embrace birding for the joy of it, rather than just working with a bird species. So yes, I'm a birder now.
Great.
In fact, the species that I mentioned, the varied thrush, is what I would call my spark bird.
Yeah.
That's what that means, is the bird that interests you and kind of gets you going and being, watching for birds. And that's the one that really caught my eye.
Yeah, I have a lot of birders around me. I'm not quite a birder myself, but I have a friend who can hear a bird sound and knows exactly what it is. My sister's like that. She knows exactly what the bird is. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's one of the things that really attracted me to this organization, is that I get to work with some extraordinarily experts in birding and knowledgeable, including the person sitting here with me today who's published three books on birds and
Well, maybe we should talk to Sarah a little bit here. We are talking with the Bird Alliance of Oregon today. Stuart Wells, Executive Director, and Sarah Swanson, Events Manager. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
So you've written how many books?
I've written three.
Wow.
Most recently, two local field guides to birds of the Oregon coast, and the other is to the birds of the Cascades and the Columbia Gorge.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yeah, so at the Wild Arts Festival, I'm not only the event manager, but I'm also one of the featured authors who will be signing my books on Sunday.
Excellent. Well, I want to find out first, how did you come to the Bird Alliance of Oregon?
Oh, gosh. Well, my story goes way back. I'll try to keep it short, but I actually am from Portland, and I volunteered in the Wildlife Care Center as a high schooler for about a year, and just loved it. And I went birding there as a bird-crazed kid even before that. And so I've always been a member of the organization, and was really excited to start working there in 2006 in the education department. So I worked in the education department for a while, left to do some other things, including writing books, and then came back to manage the Wild Arts Festival and the Birdathon fundraiser.
The Wildlife Care Center, you guys take care of more than just birds, right?
Absolutely. And we have a cool new logo that shows that. But we take care of beavers. We took care of that Arctic fox that was in the news a few weeks back until we could find it a better home. We end up with bats and turtles and ground squirrels and all kinds of wild native animals.
I remember looking at the website a while back, and I think it was a buzzard maybe that was being rescued, or a turkey. Maybe it was a wild turkey.
Turkey or a turkey vulture.
It was a big bird, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. We take care of some big birds that require eye protection. You know, we have the folks with the expertise to take care of, eagles and swans and all kinds of big ones.
Where do most of the animals come from? Do people bring them in? They find them injured?
Yeah. So we're the only wildlife care center in the Portland area. So folks bring in animals that they find, unable to fly or sick or, and we also sometimes have folks that are able to go out and collect animals that are injured, and they bring them to us, and then our veterinarians and our huge staff of volunteers take care of them and try to get them back into the wild.
Yeah, that's cool. Must be kind of a challenge to rehabilitate some of those animals.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, each one has a unique diet and enrichment needs and, different medications that they need. And it's one of the reasons we need to do fundraisers like the Wild Arts Festival, is because we're really committed to this work, and it really adds up. We had dozens of baby skunks this summer, and each of them just really put away the food as they're growing. And so it's really important work. And it also takes just a huge amount of effort and resources to do it.
Yeah. We've alluded to it a little bit here. Let's talk about the Wild Arts Festival.
Yes.
You're the big poobah for this.
I am. So the Wild Arts Festival is coming up on December 7th and 8th. And it is a celebration of nature through art and books. It's a weekend where we have 61 artists selling their art. We also have 21 authors. These are all local and regional folks that you can come and chat with. You can shop for the holidays or for yourself. These artists are juried. They're just really high quality art in just a huge variety of media, everything from photography and metal and glass and wood and painting and, you know, ceramics, everything. It's amazing to have them all there in one place. And it's, as we said, a big fundraiser for Bird Alliance of Oregon.
And probably not a mistake that it's happening around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. It's traditionally, I mean, this is our 44th year. So this is one of our marquee events. It's always been in the late fall. And now we have a permanent weekend, the second weekend of December at our new venue, which is the Wingspan Event Center in Hillsboro, which is a very new facility that really showcases our event.
That's awesome. And you said how many artists? It's 61 artists and 24 authors.
Yeah. So half of those authors will be there each day signing books, and the artists will be there all weekend.
So what's new this year besides the space?
Yeah. So the space is new. I'm really excited about it. It's right on the MAX Red Line. And so folks can take public transportation out there if they'd like to. We're also offering free parking to entice folks to come check us out in Hillsboro. Also, I've got some lightning talks that we're starting this year to give folks a chance to learn a little more about the authors and artists. So I have 16 or 17 authors and artists each day that are giving 5 to 6 minute long talks with a chance for a few questions. And they'll be going from 12:30 to 3:30 each day. And attendees are welcome to pop in and see as many of those as they'd like. And the schedule for those, as well as the author signing schedule and links to all of our artists and authors, are all on our festival website, which is wildartsfestival.org.
Is that the best place to probably buy tickets in advance too?
Exactly. And I really recommend that folks buy tickets, because we can just whisk you right in if you show us that, you know, confirmation email on your phone. Otherwise, we have lovely folks there to sell you tickets on site as well. The price is the same, but you're just going to get in faster if you buy them ahead of time.
And you said all the artists and authors are juried, so it's people want to get in and do
it.
They want to display their stuff.
It's a competitive festival, and it's we're working at a high level here. We're curating the best that there is, and we think that folks will really enjoy it.
That's so great. Tell us again what the dates are and the time.
Yeah, it's December 7th and 8th, Saturday and Sunday, and it is from 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock each of those days, and authors sign from noon to 4. Lightning talks are from 12:30 to 3:30. Folks are welcome to come both days with one ticket. It's free for kids and youth 18 and under, $13 for adults.
Excellent. It's always a fun event. 44th year.
44th year.
That's awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
See, Stuart, it's called Bird Alliance of Oregon, but you guys do a lot more than just working with birds. Tell me about that.
That's true. A lot of our work is focused on birds as a core part of our mission. But as you know, birds often are indicative species as to how well the habitat's doing. So if they're doing well, the habitat's doing well. So we broaden our work, and it's been consistent since we are founding to include the conservation, including habitat assessment, including teaching people, education programs for young people and adults. And we have a really robust advocacy or activist program, which enables folks to understand how things that are being voted on, getting in legislation, can be impacting how these animals survive. And so that's a really important component. And as we've already talked about, the wildlife rehab facility, which is something we offer for free. That service is free. So anybody brings an animal in, that is cared for and we release it to the wild, that whatever we have to do with them is something we do for free, which is, as Sarah mentioned, one of the reasons we do these kinds of fundraisers. And the Wild Arts Festival in particular is interesting to me because the history of this organization, the founder, William Finley, recognized at a very early age, he used to go out and collect eggs and bird skins. And it occurred to him, even then, back in, you know, early 1900, that this practice that was a pretty common practice at the time could impact the survival of birds. And he switched over to a new, relatively new medium, which is photography, and really was one of the earliest wildlife photographers, and started taking pictures instead of taking eggs. And other artists, such as Robert Horsfall, also were very big wildlife artists. And that's why I feel this connection, the Wild Arts Festival, is a real strong connection with what our organization has done historically. And some of these amazing paintings and photography that Will Finley did are preserved on these things called lantern slides. And lantern slides are the ones that we have in our collection, and some are 100 years old. More, and they're beautiful, and some had to be hand painted, you know, with a really tiny paintbrush. So, So yes, our mission really is to connect people to nature. We want to connect as many people to nature as possible, which is why I was talking about earlier, one of the reasons we did change our name.
Bird migration. Do you know, like, I have an app that can tell you how many birds are migrating over the city of Portland at any time. Mm-hmm. Dazzle us with some numbers. Do you know some of those numbers?
Well, on nights, this especially now, birds are migrating. 2 million birds?
Yeah, during the peak migration times over the state, we can get millions of birds in a night.
That's so fascinating that they're flying over the top of us and we can't even see them.
And it's great that you brought that up, because one of the programs that arose out of our wildlife rehab facility is that we noticed a lot of birds strikes. And they also lose their direction. If lights are shining up, and they rely on that for finding their way. So we started a night skies program, which is to encourage folks to turn off their lights, outside lights at night. And that helps keep the birds from losing their way, really. Yeah. So that's a big part of what we have done as an organization.
Yeah. Just seeing those numbers of the amount of birds migrating over the top is just mind-blowing.
Sometimes you can even hear them. A lot of those birds have call notes when they're in flight, and so you can go outside and, even if you have a good ear for it, identify what birds are flying over that night. Swainson's thrushes often fly low and make this little identifiable sound, and you can know that they're passing over you, you know, probably hundreds for everyone that you hear.
Do they migrate at night on purpose? Or do they only migrate at night?
A lot of songbirds are nighttime migrants, nocturnal migrants, and that's why this lights out program is so important, because the artificial lights disorient them. But yeah, a lot of migrants are that way. They can feed during the day and refuel, and also they can avoid some predators by flying at night.
Yeah. Wow. Stuart, talk to me about some volunteer opportunities with Bird Alliance.
Yes, we have a very robust volunteer program. We have over 600 volunteers that work with for Bird Alliance of Oregon. About 170 or so work in the wildlife rehab, care center. And they work in various roles. Some are doing working to help care for birds that come in during the baby bird season. But most of that is taken care of by our professional wildlife rehabbers. There may be parts of that, like preparing food for them. The other things that are available are our nature store uses volunteers and the Wild Arts Festival. I think we have over 100 volunteers this year for this.
It takes a huge crew of volunteers, and we do have a few last minute spots, especially if anybody wants to help us pack up all the artists and get them moved out on Sunday evening. We'd love some help, so you can reach out to our volunteer program manager, Julia May, via our website.
Okay. Well, and as we wrap up here, Sarah, maybe we need to get out the details once again about the Wild Arts Festival.
Yeah, I realized that there were a couple other things I wanted to share about the Wild Arts Festival. And another really important component of it is our silent auction. And that features a lot of art that is donated by festival artists. So it's another chance to buy their art, as well as lots of travel. We've got wine, we've got birding optics, and that's a way that you can help us with our fundraiser, even if you aren't able to attend, because our entire silent auction is done online. And the catalog is up now, and bidding opens on Friday, December 6th. Okay. And this year, we're adding an early bird social, which is a way to get even more Wild Arts Festival. You can come at 9 o'clock on Saturday. There's a separate ticket for that, and you get mimosas and breakfast. And Stuart's going to be chatting with folks about our work, and it's just an additional fun experience to add on to the Wild Arts Festival. And then you'll be ready to go when doors open at 10.
Great. Give out the website one more time.
Yeah, it's wildartsfestival.org. And you can also find it linked from our birdallianceoregon.org website.
Excellent. This has been so fascinating, you guys. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Always happy to talk about birds.
Yeah, it's really fun. We've been talking today with Bird Alliance of Oregon, Stuart Wells, Executive Director, and Sarah Swanson, Events Manager. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.